I remember when I was a child. That's the end of the sentence. I remember when I was a child that my mother told me distinctly to always wear a pair of clean white underpants every day. And the reason that I should do this, she told me when I was a young child, is because if I was in a horrendous accident of some sort, a bicycle accident, a car accident, whatever, I should have clean underpants because it would be embarrassing if I didn't. That was the reason that I should change my underpants every day. And I remember saying to my mom at a young age, "Mom, if I'm in a horrendous accident, I think I'm going to soil my pants anyway, whether they're clean or not." And she said, "No, that's not why. It's because you don't want the embarrassment of having dirty underpants if you're wheeled into a hospital." "Mom, if I'm being taken by an ambulance to a hospital to intensive care or surgery or something, and my underpants happen to be soiled because I didn't change them from yesterday, I don't think the doctor's going to say, 'Wait, hold up. Look at this kid. He's got dirty underpants. I cannot operate on him. Let him die.'"
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Oh, Mom, what were you thinking?
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I don't know what you were thinking.
Whatever.
Good morning, British lady.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you, British lady.
Back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you so much. You're really nice to say that. Well, there's been another, like, weird thing going on in the White House. How often does that happen? Hardly ever. Let's go to the White House. Come on. Let's go. When you elect a clown as president, expect a circus. Well, this just came out today, which is interesting. Remember when Trump was running for president, like what seemed like 72 years ago? In 2016, when Trump was running against Hillary Clinton, which most people thought if they voted for her, the world would fall apart, turned out to be the other way around, or it could have happened both ways. Anyway, Donald Trump was going to become the oldest president elected in his first term ever, and Hillary Clinton was running, of course, as you probably know. And there was some conversation that Donald Trump might be too old, may not be fit, physically fit enough to become president. So here's what Donald did. In the news, Donald's personal physician, Dr. Bornstein, issued a letter to the media. And the media used it, ran with it, published it everywhere. And the letter said, "I am Dr. Bornstein. I am Donald Trump's personal doctor. Donald Trump is the fittest individual I have ever examined in my life. He's in perfect health. No one is fitter running for office ever than Donald Trump is right now, and went on to tout how physically incredibly fit Donald Trump is. Well, the letter was given to the press. They ran with it, and most people were saying this is a bunch of crap, but you know, a lot of people said, okay, that puts that to rest. Donald Trump actually is a fine physical specimen, the best ever, really. Well, today we find out that Dr. Bornstein issued a statement. First of all, he claimed that his doctor's office was raided by the White House. The White House says, why would we do that? Well, of course. Dr. Bornstein says that that letter that was given to the media in 2016, yes, came from him, but it was dictated to him by Donald Trump. Bornstein said he didn't write that letter. Donald Trump wrote that letter touting about how physically fit Donald Trump is, as Donald Trump tends to do. He dictated the letter, he wrote the letter, he gave it to Bornstein and told Bornstein, you release this as if it's your letter about me and how physically fit I am. And Bornstein, being Trump's personal physician, said, sure, Donald, I kiss ass all day. I'm a doctor. Any pills? Do you need any pills? That information came out. Now, here's the interesting part about that. We are so used to Donald Trump lying and finagling and dispensing the untruth and claiming everybody else is untrue when it's him who is the untrue thing. we just shrug our shoulders and we go, oh, whatever, Donald Trump's a delusional idiot. I know. This is actually significant. It's a significant piece of information. Donald Trump gets people to lie for him or writes his own obituary, basically. He writes his own letter about himself, gives it to the doctor, and says, you release it as if you wrote it. And the doctor says, okay, master, I shall do what you wish. I'm under your hypnotic spell. To me, it's a phenomenal piece of information. Is it impeachable? No. Is it amazing to anybody? No. Is it shocking? No. It's just another example of how far this Trump guy will go to the point where he actually does this kind of crap. This is your president, ladies and gentlemen. And that's the news today from the White House. Check it out. I'm serious. Okay. All right, that's demeaning enough. I think we've done a fine job there. Okay. Well, the Kentucky Derby is coming up on Saturday, and as I stated yesterday, and you heard me interview from Churchill Downs, that's the name of the place the Kentucky Derby takes place from, the Churchill Downs place. I don't know what that means. I think it's Hugh Downs' personal property. I really don't know. We talked about bourbon yesterday, which was fun and exciting. I actually tried a little shot of bourbon after yesterday's show just to get the full flavor of the program. I like to make my programs come alive in my mouth. It was very tasty. It was very bourbon-y. Well, today we're going to go back to the racetrack, and we're going to talk live from the racetrack to two individuals who are wine experts. And I cannot pronounce this word for some reason. I don't know why. It's sommelier. They're wine experts, and they're going to talk about pairing wine with your Bluetooth speakers. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Hey, the summer is upon us. The spring is certainly in full gear now. Most of the country is finding the warm temperatures, and people are finally coming out of their abodes and standing out in the middle of the street going, okay, it's nice out. So what's the big question that I have when the seasons change to this extreme? Well, this.
What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today? What are you wearing? What are you wearing? What are you wearing today, today?
Well, this season brings forth interesting conversation. The winter is a time when people bundle up. We've got to be bundled as if we're going to be mailed in the post office or shipped by UPS. We need to be bundled. And we do that. We wear layers and layers of clothes. We, you know, sweaters on top of shirts, on top of sweatshirts, on top of... We just bundle up. And then this weather comes where now it's starting to get warm. And now we take all the clothes off. And it's a very interesting time of year for me. It's sexier because people have less clothing on, and that tends to be a sexier kind of thing. So that's kind of cool. We get into the lighter colors, the pastels, and it's just a whole different fashion thing. But it also brings forth the overweight people in spandex. They have these jeans now that women wear, and some men wear them as well. They're not actually jeans, although they look like denim, but they're a stretchy lycra kind of fabric. And they accentuate every little piece of fat that you have on your fat little thigh piano legs. And people walk around in this. And I just, if I had piano legs, and I don't, I have legs more like an oboe. I don't think I'd wear things that accentuate the bad about me. It doesn't really make any sense. But people do this. They wear as few clothes as possible. Men start wearing something that I talk about every year and I find objectionable. And I don't know why. Maybe it's just a thing. But when men wear white or pastel colored pants, I get a little queasy in my stomach. And I don't know why, because I don't care that much. But it's just, it's an odd-looking thing. Men should never wear white pants, unless you're the good humor man or you work for an ice cream delivery truck company. Other than that, don't do that. And here's another thing about white pants. How is it that women who wear white pants are extremely sexy? Men who wear white pants are extremely dorky. It's the conundrum of the white pant, ladies and gentlemen. And nothing in life is more confusing than the white pant mystery. When men wear white pants, there's always mustard, ketchup, or a dirt stain in the areas that make you look in the wrong place, if you know what I mean. Or what's that stain on your pants, Bobby? I swear, I didn't. That's not what you think. Women can wear white pants, jump into a mud pit, drill into the ground, garden, and somehow there's not a speck of dirt or stain on their white pants whatsoever. I don't understand it. Women always look good in white pants. Men don't. Women look wonderful in form-fitting clothes in the summer if you have a form to fit. They look very good. Men in form-fitting clothes? Ugh. Oh, my God. So why is it okay for a woman to wear form-fitting clothes and a man never? As a matter of fact, men wear their baggy five sizes too big pants down to their crotch. They wear oversized baggy outer garments. Yet women, it's got to hug every little vein. It's again, a conundrum of style that I just never understood. So here's the deal. And I've talked about this so many times before that I'm getting sick of it myself. But it's so much worth talking about. And I so much don't understand it on a biblical level. I have breasts. They don't... they're not huge. I'm totally flat-chested. I'm a guy. Some men actually have developing breasts when they get older. I don't, thank God. Or whatever. I'm sorry if you do. I didn't mean to say thank God. But men have breasts. And in the summer, men don't wear shirts. And you literally can go walking down a street in public, a man, and not wear a shirt on a really, really hot day. You can be bare-chested. And your breasts are showing. But they don't protrude from your body for the most part. And even if they do, and you're a man, it's perfectly fine. There's no sexual feeling that comes from that other than, ugh. A woman will be arrested if she walks down a public street without wearing a top at all, just with her breasts exposed. For some reason, that's wrong. For some reason, that is a sexual turn on. A man's breasts exposed are not a sexual turn on. Sometimes just the opposite of that. It's a repellent. In the scheme of things, when you step back from our social mores, it makes no sense. Is that not odd to you? Now, I don't know if I could handle women walking around with their breasts showing all day in public. That might be, it might take a while to get used to, unless you go to a strip club every day. You don't get used to that for a long time. But it's just, it's a social oddity that the entire world follows, but it's just, breasts are breasts. I, for some reason, because they protrude a little bit on a woman, that makes it wrong publicly. I think about that. Tell me what you think. Not that anything's going to change. I just find it one of the oddities of our social acceptance. You can reach me by going to the email, ronvandamshow@gmail.com, ronvandamshow@gmail.com, and tell me your thoughts. Also, if you've written a book or you think you're an interesting guest or you're Trump's doctor and you want to come on the program, you can contact me that way as well. That's about the only way you can contact me. Sometimes I answer, sometimes I don't. You just never know. And I think that's what makes it exciting. And you can listen to the program, of course, every single weekday we do a new episode. They're all housed on the Podbean Network. We have well over 1,000 episodes, and they're all there. You can binge listen until you drop dead, basically. They're all there. So the Podbean Network and, of course, the Amazon Alexa offers our program as well, as iTunes, TuneIn Radio, and many other SoundCloud and many other factions that I don't even understand what I'm talking about because I'm not into all that stuff. I just do this show and I leave it at that. It's really quite simple. We're going to go to Churchill Downs and we're going to see what's going on with those crazy little horses. By the way, thank you so much for making the choice to come here to this program. I know there's a lot of other shows that you could listen to, but you've chosen to listen to this show, and that's a very special thing, and I do appreciate that. You definitely make the proper choice.
You are listening to The Ron Van Dam Show. Did they just not offer you a second choice, or did you not have a lot of time to choose? Help me out here. I just don't understand. What were you thinking?
That's a little extreme. Okay, let's go to Churchill Downs and see what's going on. We're going to talk about wine, which is a great subject. Here we go. Hello, Sarah.
How are you?
I'm great. We talked about bourbon earlier. Now we're talking about wine. Sarah Tracy is a sommelier. I love saying that word because I can't say it. She's a wine educator and event consultant based in Brooklyn, my favorite place. And yay. I'm from Queens. Hi. Just across the bridge.
Cool. Yeah. Hi. Exactly.
Yeah. So we're talking wine, and I understand, as everybody should be, that you're at the Kentucky Derby at the Churchill Downs, not at the Derby itself, but you're there now.
Yeah, I'm coming to you live from Churchill Downs. It's really exciting. There were horses warming up earlier, and everyone's getting into the spirit here in Louisville. It's a really exciting time.
Speaking of getting in the spirit, that was really nice. I like that transition. Speaking of getting in the spirit, You're a wine expert. How do you become a wine expert? You've been doing this like a long time?
Yeah, I have been working in the wine industry for about, you know, as soon as I could legally pick up a glass of wine and drink it. And it's just a wonderful community to be a part of, and I love to bring wine into events and parties like this. So great. I always think that having great wine on hand is really important.
Okay, now, we're talking about the Kentucky Derby, and wine comes into play, cocktails, that kind of thing. What would be a good cocktail recipe?
Well, you know, people do think of bourbon when they think about the Derby and a bourbon julep, but the julep itself is not specific to bourbon. All you technically need to make it is a spirit, a little bit of sugar, and a botanical element. Actually, the very first juleps were made with violets and brandy. Oh. So nothing to do with bourbon at all. You can put your own little spin on it, you know, whatever kind of you enjoy. But I created one that is a sparkling fruit wine julep. And then I use a little pineapple, so a little pineapple jam. I'm muddled with some fresh mint leaves, and I add just about an ounce and a half of gin, which is light and refreshing. Shake it up and top it off with a sparkling brut wine, and it's just a light and refreshing way to kick off your Derby party.
That is a great idea. If not into the hard liquor stuff, then that's wonderful. And it's the jam's an interesting sweet little throw in there. That's nice.
A little bit lighter, and you know, it's. A lot of people might have one bourbon or one bourbon julep that might not want to continue on that path all day long. So having great wine on hand, I think, is essential.
Now, a lot of people have parties surrounding the Kentucky Derby. They have parties surrounding everything. I have a party after I vacuum the rug. I think that's a good reason to have a drink.
Oh, yeah.
So give me some party ideas about some gathering ideas that can make this kind of special.
Well, I think, you know, number one is the fashion. You know, you have to embody the true spirit of the Derby. So hats are essential for the ladies. Gentlemen, you know, seersucker, if you have a suit that you can pull out of the closet, even just a pastel bow tie, anything you can do to kind of bring in the style, half the fun is watching the fashion parade as well as the race.
Yes.
So encouraging that dress code, and even something like creating a hat station in a corner of your home where you can allow guests to maybe decorate their own hat. It's a really fun way to get everyone engaged. And also things like lawn games, horseshoes, and cornhole, enjoying that first, you know, fun spring weekend for a lot of us that have had a rough winter. And then I think that leaderboard of the horses, and get some wager cards out there, let your guests bet on the race, and even award a fun prize package to the winner.
It's a great idea. Now let's talk about food and wine pairings. I think that's pretty much your expertise, besides good wines, but what foods to pair with them and vice versa. A lot of people don't know what to do. Are there rules, or kind of does anything go?
I think the number one rule, if you're hosting a party, is keeping the food extremely simple. You don't want to be in the kitchen all day. You want, you know, simple snacks that you can kind of set out and then enjoy the party with the rest of your guests. So I've created some Southern-inspired bites that are easy but have a lot of impact. So things like a country ham and peach flatbread. It's so Southern and lovely, and it's perfect with a rosé wine. Rosé is the wine of spring, and it's juicy, and it has these bright, wild strawberry flavors. Plays beautifully off that juicy peach and savory ham. And then for those with a sweet tooth, you have to have Derby pie, which is cotton chocolate pie, absolutely delicious. And a nice, rich, ripe red wine is what I would pair with that. Luckily, 14 Hands Winery has made a limited release Kentucky Derby red blend specifically for the day. And it's just going to be served here at Churchill Downs, but it's also available at your local wine shop or grocery store. So that's a really fun thing that you can pick up and just feel like you're a part of all the excitement here in Louisville, and it's a great pairing for the pie.
That's wonderful. What kind of wine should I drink after I brush my teeth? No, I guess that's not a pairing that would makes sense.
I think sparkling wine for any occasion.
Okay.
Sparkling fruit, that's my go-to.
That should do it. Okay. All right. Let's talk about sparkling wines. Is that in these days to have a sparkling wine, or is it more of the Merlots and that kind of thing?
You know, we're going through a little bit of a change in the culture of enjoying sparkling wine. Mm-hmm. People no longer wait for their wedding or their promotion or their anniversary to have it.
Yeah.
And there's so many great traditional method sparkling wines that are available now from outside the Champagne region. That's where you're going to have the big bucks bottles. Mm-hmm. But, you know, all over the world and all over the U.S., they're making awesome, fabulous, traditional method sparkling wines that are, you know, affordable enough to enjoy on a daily basis. And I think whether you're just enjoying a nice, you know, aperitivo on your patio or at brunch, you know, there's so many great options available today.
Yeah, they tend
to just save it for your birthday.
Yeah, I mean, they're great for mixing cocktails using sparkling wine. And it also, it's kind of like a little peppy, you know, it kind of just kind of peps you up just a tad, makes you feel good. Yeah.
Sparkle it up and it makes everything more festive, absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, so we're getting ready for the big day, and we're going to have some people over, and we're going to have some good food and pair some good wines. Where can I get more information about pairing wines and about 14 Hands?
Yeah, so I have all of the wine pairing recipes and wine info, as well as fashion decor advice, even a fun derby party music playlist on my website, which is called The Lush Life. So that's at thelushlife.xyz. And then if you want to pick up the 14 Hands wine, again, your local grocery store or wine shop, that's also 14hands.com.
Very cool. I love talking about wine. I love talking about parties. So this has been very, very pleasant. Thank you so much for
your
time.
Happy to be here.
Thanks, Sarah.
Cheers.
Okay. Bye-bye. Well, there you go. Wine is indeed the fruit of life. Wine is made from fruit. Whoever thought that when people were growing grapes, they said, how can we turn this into an alcoholic beverage? And lo and behold, it worked out rather well. We use wine as a social gathering excuse. There are book clubs all across the country in various towns and organizations, and these book club members, they all agree to read a certain book, and they're going to get together on Friday night, and they're going to discuss the book. They open a bottle of wine, and within 2 minutes, no one's discussing the book. They're just a group of people drinking wine. It's what we do. Hey, let's get together, and we haven't seen you in a while. Why don't we go to a movie and go to dinner? Sure. Let's have some wine. All right. Oh, forget the dinner and the movie. Let's just sit around and drink wine. Okay. Our entire society is built around wine. Various European countries and companies, they all have to do with drinking wine. It seems that we can't interact with each other without getting alcoholically influenced. And I'll tell you something, I get that entirely. I have absolutely no tolerance for the human race whatsoever. But you give me a couple of glasses of wine, and somehow I'll sit in their company for a short period of time, and it actually clouds my reality, and I can actually get along with some of these people, again, for a short period of time. There's not much that we can do in our lifetimes without having a glass of wine. Or we work all day, and we get home, and what do? We have a beverage. We have a glass of wine. I can't have my dinner without a glass of wine. Before I go to bed at night, I like a glass of wine. This is what we are as a people. Can you imagine aliens coming from another galaxy, another universe, saying, let's get in the spaceship and go to the planet Earth and see what's going on? Okay, that's like 25 light years away. I know, but I'll drive. Okay. But before we go, I can't visit another galaxy unless I have a glass of wine. All right, I'll be the designated pilot of the flying saucer. Okay, because I want to have some wine. I'm out of time for today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace. There are some people that don't drink alcohol at all. President Donald Trump apparently doesn't drink alcohol. Can you imagine what would happen if he did? Oh my God.